Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Cabinet meeting of the 13th of January. May I start by wishing you all a Happy New Year.
And to you.
Minutes of the meeting of the 2nd of December. Are we all agreed on those?
Aye.
Agreed.
Thank you very much. Apologies. We have apologies from Jonathan Price and the leader of the council who thinks he has COVID. I did speak to him yesterday. He's tested negative, but he feels that the only symptoms he's got are those of COVID, which is a shame, really. So he's isolating for the usual time. It does make me question a point that I've made many times, that we're forced to meet in person when the government advises you should work from home when you can, and we can. But unfortunately, the law says we can't. Which I find odd, and as I mentioned earlier on to some of the members, whilst cases seem to have peaked, and seem to have peaked locally. The death rate in the 6 weeks before Christmas was about 800 per week. Last week it was 1,300, and for the last 3 days it's been approaching 400. It's probably 1,100 in the last 3 days, which to me is very worrying. And I've written to my MP, and the local government association are also campaigning that we should be allowed to meet remotely, as is Jackie Weaver of the Hanford Parish Council, who tells us that, the number of councillors of my age has dropped off considerably at their meetings. Are there any questions? No? Right, the first item then, 4A, is the budget for next year, this year, which is my portfolio. First of all, I'd like to thank our new 151 officer for the work that he's done in compiling reports 1 and 2 under Section A, which he's done so in a relatively short time. Both are on the same lines and the format as those we approved last year. And to be honest, because of the pandemic, not a lot has changed. The government has just rolled forward on the position from last year with a one-year settlement, with some extra grant aid, and postponing the fundamental changes that were planned for the retention of business rates, a business rates reset, and new homes bonus. The uncertainty we had last year remains, but has been postponed. The report sets out the proposed budget for 22-23 and indicative budgets for the following 2 years. It covers revenue and capital, as well as detailed statements for each portfolio, the council tax and the business rates. The budget assumes a council tax increase of 1.9%, which is what we agreed some years ago, and this is in line with the existing policy. It represents an increase of just 6 pence per week for a standard Band D property. And this of course provides all the borough's services. The increase is below the threshold that would require a referendum, and it maintains our promise of keeping council tax increases below inflation, which we've done so since 2003. In general, this year's budget is a continuation of last year's. The government has decided to delay what I mentioned earlier, a major review of government finance, but this will have a significant impact next year and the year beyond, which you've got indicative budgets within the report. But as I say, there's a huge amount of uncertainty there. Section 6 of the report highlights the main budget issues and adjustments. Inflation has been taken into account in pay and non-pay spending. The income from the brown bin green waste collection is predicted to continue to support the budget, particularly in light of the predicted loss of car parking income. Section 7 itemises the impact of the government's local government provisional finance settlement, and whilst many grants were received in 21-22, they have continued into 22-23, they are all subject to review, and some are specifically flagged as one-off. And I would point out that the settlement at the moment is provisional, so it could be amended, but evidence from previous years is it's unlikely to be amended. Section 8 provides a summary of the revenue budget and explains how the proposed budget compares to what we predicted for 22-23 this time last year. It also explains the movement between the proposed 22-23 budget and the 23-24 indicative budget. Section 9 describes the reserves and balances, and Section 13 provides a commentary on what I've summarised. Members will note that there are predicted shortfalls when comparing forecast income against forecast expenditure for the following 2 years. This is of some concern, and discussions are currently in progress to start identifying how we can ensure the budget position will be in balance in the medium term. Whilst not being complacent, it is worth emphasising that the cause of the projected shortfall is the anticipated impact of the government's new financial regime. Very little is known about this, the government's thinking in this regard, and the Section 151 officer has been at pains to emphasise the uncertainty behind the projections. Given this uncertainty, it is recommended that rather than recommend budget savings now that could have a detrimental impact on service delivery, it is better to monitor the government policy position and keep forecasts under review. Ideas will be developed over the coming months that can be implemented from 23-24 should the needs arise. And as you know, we now have a joint chief executive with ourselves and Canuck, and one of the areas we need to explore is the sharing of more services. I should also point out that the approval for the capital programme is sought as part of the recommendation. This programme is set out in Appendix 2. So to summarise, we are managing our way through and hopefully out of the pandemic with assistance from government grants. For 22-23, much government funding has been continued from last year. This, together with prudent management of our resources, has enabled us to produce a budget without any need for service cuts, as well as enabling us to invest in the borough, for example through the future High Street scheme. The future of local government finance is uncertain, but the borough, unlike many councils, has no debt and is well placed to build on its solid foundations to enable us to thrive in the longer term. I'm happy to answer any questions, and I move the recommendation. No questions? Thank you very much. So we approve the budget.
Aye.
Thank you. The second report is the Treasury Management Report. This is an extremely technical report, and it reflects our strategy should we need to borrow, and it also gives advice on investment. The strategy has not changed from when it was adopted in 2018. The report seeks approval for setting the prudential and treasury indicators for 2022-23 for borrowing and investment, which will ensure that capital investment plans of the Council are affordable, prudent and sustainable. It also sets the minimum revenue policy provisions. As you know, due to good financial management of the Council, we've invested in numerous capital projects over the years, for example Stone Leisure Centre, Victoria Park and the Western Access Road, to name but some, and as yet we have not had the need to borrow. However, where there is a valid case and it is prudent, sustainable and affordable and delivers the Council's economic and other priorities, then borrowing may be authorised within the boundaries as contained in the report. You will probably recognise the latter part of the report are a commentary and opinions of our consultants and the SIPPA views about the UK economy in general. So that's cut and pasted from their advice. The final appendix spells out the role of the 151 officer and in respect of the management of the council's finances. The 151 officer is one of three officers that all councils must employ. And I'd like to place on record my thanks to him for the new officer for his sound and prudent advice in picking up the reins at such short notice. Are there any questions on that report?
No, but I would like to echo your thanks to the 151 officer for two absolutely excellent reports.
Thank you, yes, I will pass that on. I found the two reports that he produced quite readable, especially for us ladies.
Absolutely.
Can you kindly pass that on, please? Right, the next item then is the Economic and Development and Planning Portfolio, Councillor Beattie.
Thank you, Chairman.
Page 93.
This is the, it relates to the developer contributions to Cannock Chase Special Area Conservation, commonly known as the SAC. And we are asked to sign a new memorandum of understanding with the partner authorities. There are five partner authorities involved in managing the chase, and to provide approval for signing a financial agreement so that we can administer the funds. We are actually the host for the project, and the project itself is the contribution of a charge of £290.58 per dwelling, which is taken from new developer contributions, new housing developer contributions, within up to a 15-kilometre zone of influence from the SAC, and that is agreed by or being authorised by government. The current use of that money is being put to improving public access through things like enhanced infrastructure, such as car parks, paths, signage, interpretation boards, and also managing visitor engagement and education. It's enormously valuable, this money, because the ANB does not receive very substantial sums of money, despite being a nationally important landscape. And it means that, particularly in this year, when we've got the Commonwealth Games coming, for instance, and the bike riders coming in force as part of the mountain biking competitions, that we have a chance to show the best of Cannock Chase, but also to show how well it can be managed in terms of the use of it by visitors. It is a very, very fragile landscape, and this money is very valuable to us. So it's to approve those two things, memorandum of understanding and the financial agreement.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Burr?
Thank you, Chair. In other places, there's been much discussion on the management of Cannock Chase, as well as within the council and its partners. It's clear that it's a much loved area within, just outside or within a hair's breadth of our boundaries. And anything that we can do to preserve and conserve for future generations, this area is really critical. So I welcome not only the report and the principles it sets out, but also the finances that go behind that to support the ongoing conservation and protection of this area of outstanding natural beauty.
Yes, it has internationally important species, internationally important landscapes, geological landscapes, and nationally important heritage features. So it is a very, very special place.
Yeah, can I just add that make it clear that the special area of conservation is probably only about 25% of the whole of the chase. So this is for those areas where there is real danger to the damage of flora and fauna, and it is very welcome that we're going to, well, first of all, increase the distance from 8 kilometres to 15 kilometres, and the increase to the contribution per dwelling. Quite clearly, there's been a lot of development locally in recent years, and that will inevitably put greater strain on the chase, which is a fantastic destination for the people who live in the locality. But this money is just to be spent on this special area of the conservation. As I say, that's probably about 25% of the chase. So we're happy to approve?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. That would appear to be the end of the agenda.
You do sit on the
cabinet. Thank you very much.
Like sitting on the side.